Good morning. The gospel reading this morning is from Luke 9, 23 through 27, one of the many important red letter verses or sections in the Bible. It goes like this. Then he said to them all, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory, and the glory of the Father, and the holy angels. But truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God."
Good morning, everybody. Our mission, one of the great things about Glenmar is it's pretty obvious what our mission is, right? Let's say it together. So what is our mission? Praising God, growing disciples, serving the world. So we're about those things, aren't we? We're doing all three of those this morning. We're praising God here in worship. We're growing as disciples. That's what our, actually the sermon is about, what our series is about, red letter discipleship. Red letters being Jesus's words, Jesus's directions for discipleship. We're serving the world as we commissioned 88 people, went down to Hurley, and that's only the first team. There's a team going next week. Now, I have seen 28 going on mission trips before. I have never seen 88. So I am just almost speechless about that. There's a quilt that all of the members of the team made, little squares of the quilt. Eloise put it together. It's a quilt that will be out in the gathering place this week. Whenever you see the quilt, say a prayer for those folks, right? That's what the quilt's there for, to connect us. So they'll be connecting with us back here, thinking about us, and we'll be connecting with them. And that's the great thing about Christian faith and discipleship, is that we're all connected in prayer, in thought, right? As a church family, and this is a wonderful church family. So how many of you are skiers, thinking about the winter time, right? Bunch of skiers. So I've gone skiing a few times. I enjoy it. I haven't been that proficient at it. But anyway, I enjoy doing it. To ski, you need to learn some things, right? And to be able to then practice it. But for me, I've never really enjoyed the full scope of skiing. So I haven't gone to the highest mountains for that. I've gone probably intermediate size. But I tend to, be a little unsteady, a little unsure, not totally trusting. I kind of go slow, take my time. Every once in a while I'll let loose, but it's kind of like that. And isn't discipleship like that for us sometimes? We're afraid of going a little outside of our comfort zone. We keep it within our own sphere. Maybe we're following Jesus in a certain way. We're doing certain things, but we kind of take it slow, in our own pace. We know how to snow plow in discipleship, We know how to kind of keep it together. We don't want to go too far out of our place. So we keep the brakes sort of on. We ride the brakes in discipleship a little more than we need to. Right? This is... What would it mean to take your foot off the brake a little bit? Get up to speed. Because discipleship is the most exciting adventure that we could possibly be on. It's the place where we grow into being who we really are and where God can really work through us. And when we're keeping the brakes on all the time, and we're concentrating on that, right? When you're concentrating on brakes, you're not enjoying the vistas that are there. You're not enjoying what it is that God is providing for you and is making possible, for us. So In this series, Red Letter Discipleship, I'm inviting you to, to take your foot off the brake a little bit. Start to look around, see what it is that maybe God is leading you into that you haven't been doing before. There's a lot of aspects to discipleship. Whatever you're doing, there's something else, right, that might be there for you. Or maybe it's a deeper level. Maybe it's a little bit more of more time or a little bit more of an effort or a different kind of a focus. All of us aren't going to go on mission trips. There's a lot of folks that don't go on mission trips. You don't need to do that. That's one way to be in service as a disciple. There's many, many other ways for us to follow Jesus, and I want to invite you into that exploration. So we're giving you a boost in that direction with Red Letter Discipleship today, growing as disciples of Jesus Christ. So our foundational statement for this sermon series is missional church happens when disciples of Jesus Christ connect to engage their passions in the world. Missional church. Just saying that, missional church. Church is to be on mission. You know, church without mission isn't really a church. Mission is what church exists for. So missional church, that's the disciples going out. That's us living our faith in the world, living our faith outside of the church building, of course, and also with each other, growing together. Happens when disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus, connect with God and with each other to engage their passions. That's our callings, what God is calling us to do in the world, in the wider community. And so that's what we're following in this series. This week, last week we heard about Jesus sending the 12 out and sending the 72 out to preach the good news, the kingdom of God, and also to heal. Those were the two directions he gave them. They're two overarching themes, live the reality of God in the world. We don't always have to preach, literally preach. We preach by how we live. That's how Francis of Assisi always said, preach all the time, and if you have to, use words. Don't have to use words. And also to heal, to bring the separated together. This week, Jesus goes on to share these powerful words about what it means to be one of his disciples. Let's read these together. They're up on the screen. Then Jesus said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" So the whole idea of discipling, following Jesus, is if we're not following Jesus, who are we following? What is it that gets our attention? What is it that we listen to? What is it that has any kind of authority in our lives? If it's not Jesus, if it's not God, I think that really the only other option is ourselves. Because we want to be in control, right? We want to be able to have, authority over ourselves. Turning authority over to Jesus is like the key step here. If we're gonna follow him, then if we're gonna be his disciples, then that means we want him to speak to us. We want to listen to what he's saying. We want to take his words in, give them meaning, give them power, give them purpose. So there's the first choice. Is it God? Are we listening to what God is saying? Are we listening to our own voice? And it's sometimes hard to separate that out. That's why we need to have spiritual practices. That's where prayer comes in. That's where contemplation comes in. That's where reading the Bible comes in. That's where being with other people comes in, because our own voice often gets to be louder than Jesus' voice. So we need to quiet our own voice down, deny ourselves, right, so that we can take up our cross, so we can be present to what it is that's happening daily. This is a daily enterprise, one day at a time. and follow him. Follow Jesus. What you sow, you will reap. What you feed will grow. What you feed will grow. You know, what you give emphasis to will grow within you. We want to be giving emphasis to Jesus in us. Saving one's life by losing the driven self is not a strategy for successful living. It's a condition of discipleship. This is not a self-help movement. This is a following Jesus, you know, God in our lives, whole life enterprise. We don't get there, you know, in a day or a week or a year. This is a whole life strategy. We're doing this for Jesus' sake. We're not doing this simply to feel better, although we will. We're not doing this to do good things, although we will. We're doing this for Jesus' sake. So, some years ago, when our kids were teenagers, one was probably about 13 or 14, the other 17 or so, the four of us decided to go on a vacation. This was my idea, I have to say, to England, to Nottingham, England, and to spend a week in a canal boat on the Trent and Mersey Canal. There is a canal boat right there. That's what they look like. So they're 55 feet long, about 7 feet wide. They really are long boats. And the canal that we were on was built in the 1700s by the Wedgwood family so that they could get their, you know, products throughout the country. You know, that was the modern way to do it, was to do it by canal. So now there are canal boats all over England. Actually, I think a lot of the European countries have them. And you can rent a boat. This is what we did, you know, to be on this boat for a week. So this is what it was. You know, I get to be the one back there driving in the back because it was my idea. And the boys, there are locks, right? There are locks along the canal. And you know, the Panama Canal, these are little locks, but there are big wheels, so you still turn the wheels. It's not automatic, you know, you have to turn the wheels. So there's one on each side to close or open the gates, these wooden gates, which allowed the water to fill up or to go down. So we had two boys, that was perfect. So they would jump off and they'd run over and they would do the gates, either open them or close them. And I would be driving along and Carol would be sitting in the boat eating bonbons. I mean, she would be in the boat, you know, making meals. Right, I'm going to hear about this, aren't I? Clean, you know, keeping things together, making coffee, tea. Did it rain? We were in England in June. It was exactly this time of year. Should it be sunny and nice? No, it rained every day. In fact, we had to stop and pick up rain gear because we had jackets, but it wasn't enough. We needed pants, everything, to do that. But before going out, they wouldn't let me out. They wouldn't let us out on the canal without reading a bunch of stuff. Read all of this, right? Read this packet of stuff. They gave me this packet. Watch this video. You need to watch the video because it's going to tell you a lot of things about how to do this. Then we're going to show you some things. You know, if the propeller gets stuck, you know, you got to do this. And where the water, how to do the water, and how to do all these different things. You know, what happens if anything, you know, what if the heat goes off? Did we need heat in the, yes. Did it break? Yes. So all of these things, and then the guy gets in there with the boat with me, and he says, okay, we're going to go out. This is how you do it. Now you take it. So in other words, he showed me how to do it, and then he watched me do it. Why? Because he wants to get his boat back at the end of the week. Now he wants to make sure I know how to be a disciple of British waterways, that I've learned the customs. Drive on the left. Go 3 miles an hour. This is where you park. Don't park here. You know, don't dock here. Dock there. All those, this is where the water is. You know, this is where the canal pubs are. That's where you eat. This is how, you know, this is the British thing. So as you're going along, you're seeing everybody's backyard, which was kind of cool because the British gardens are beautiful, so there were gardens all along the way, and there's always people along the banks, and there's little villages and little customs going on, and all of that was happening. So it slowed me down, slowed us down. We had to work together. This is kind of like discipleship, isn't it? You have to work together. Can't do this. In fact, they wouldn't let us out on the canal without at least three people. Had to have that in order to make it work. So it brought us together as a family, and even though I heard a lot of complaints along the way, it was something that we still, you know, this is one of the family stories that we like to talk about and that we get to enjoy and to have a lot of laughs. So discipleship is something like this, isn't it? There's things to read, there's things to take in, there's people that are going to help us, there's customs, there's traditions, there's things to be aware of, there's ways to do things. You know, what happens when things go wrong? Where do you turn? Who will help you? Where do you find help? How do you find help? You know, who do you call? How do you do this thing? And I was learning the basics, right? I learned enough that there's a lot more to learn about, you know, running a canal boat. And so that's what discipleship is too. But we need to learn enough so that we can enjoy it. We can kind of sit back and enjoy, you know, the world of canal boating. So we think about Jesus and what he's saying, deny yourself. That word deny is kind of a strong word. Except we remember it, that comes through strongly in the fact that, remember, Peter denies Jesus. That's the word that's always used. Peter denied Jesus. So I think what this leads to is, obviously Peter knew Jesus. Couldn't deny he had spent time with him. But under stress and under pressure, he was more important than Jesus was. You know, what he wanted was more important than what Jesus might want. And that's always the challenge for us, isn't it? The lesson is, you know, what would it mean for Peter to deny himself and honor Jesus? So I think for discipleship is to sort of keep Peter in the background. The model disciple is also the one that denied him. And so it's constantly, are we denying self or are we denying Jesus? How are we moving more towards that, putting ourself second? Disciples, there's a couple of Greek words in here. I don't want to do a lot about Greek, really, and you don't really need to remember these words specifically, but the first word is mathetes, which is means to be a student, to be a pupil. Unlike other rabbis of the time, and unlike even people today who are kind of famous people that people want to follow, usually it's the student that says, can I be your follower? You know, can I follow you? Can I learn from you? Can I be your student? Will you be my mentor? Will you be my teacher? You know, well, maybe we do that with a program. Maybe we do it with a university. Maybe we do it with a professor. In this case, it's the opposite. Jesus is saying, you follow me. I invite all of you to follow me, not some of you. Not a couple people, not the people who are at some level of awareness or knowledge or intelligence or experience. I'm inviting you all to follow me, all of us to be disciples, not just a few people at Glenmar, not just the people doing certain things, not just people that we might put as models. All of us, wherever we are, disciples aren't necessarily the people who have it all together. Disciples are ones who just want to learn. And the other Greek word is akaluthio, which means to follow. Disciples follow. Now, to follow, you have to be close enough to the one that you're following to know you're following, right? Otherwise, they're so far ahead of you, you don't even know where they are, what they're doing. To follow, we need to continue to move ourselves closer to Jesus. so that we can hear what he's saying, so we can see what he's doing, so we can learn from him and become more and more like him, so we can become more like him in our hearts as well as in our actions. And so as we do that, I can imagine Jesus smiling. You know, when we're following, he smiles. You know, when our kids do something that we know that they've somehow picked up along the line, we smile. You know, that's my son, that's my daughter. That's what Jesus is saying to us. You're my son, that's my son doing that, that's my daughter doing that. Yeah, they took that shit, they took their foot off the brake a little bit. You know, they allowed themselves to trust me, to look around. They've learned enough to be able to look around and see, you know, the wonders, the beauty of what's here. The fruit of our lives will reveal the root of our lives. Fruit of our lives. What people see comes from what's down inside. Just like with a tree. You know, we've planted some plants and they haven't gone very far yet. And Carol was just saying that they look kind of scraggly. I think the roots are going. There hasn't been enough sun for much to happen up there yet. But I believe in those little plants and that we're going to see some beautiful flowers. We need to dig roots first. We need to dig our roots. We need to keep working on our roots. So a discipleship profile. What does a disciple look like? Okay, profile would include being biblical, so to be accurate to Jesus' teaching, to be simple, all ages, children, youth, adults, wherever we are, we need to be able to understand it. Teachable, easy to grasp, easy to pick up, easy to hold on to. Practical, so something that works for today, that I can use in my everyday life. Balanced, that means it relates to the traditions. What do other disciples do? What has happened through the years? What have we seen? What did the early church do? What did the disciples bring about? You know, how did they go from 12 to 120 to 3,000 to half of the Roman Empire? How did that happen? You know, something was going on. How can we pick that up? How can we learn from that? Visionary. To serve as accountability and growth, something that I can have a vision of. Okay, I'm probably going in a good direction here. Or I could need to pick something up over here. It's time for me to do this and let go of that. So Glenmar has a way of getting at this, and one of the joys of being here as your pastor is in this time is to learn. What you call the discipleship pathway. You've been putting this together for some time. And the discipleship pathway is a way of forming disciples at Glenmar, disciples of Jesus. How do we do that? You know, what is our plan for that? And what we're working from is kind of a centered set approach. Remember last week I talked about a bounded set, which is really an inside-outside approach to church. A centered set approach isn't really interested in the boundaries as it is our orientation to the center, our orientation to Jesus. Where are we there? And it's never a straight line for any of us. It's not meant to be. It's not going to be. It's going to be, you know, moving in different, you know, left and right, up and down. But all the time moving towards Christ, Jesus is there. Once Jesus is there in our lives, it's a matter of how do we move closer to him? How do we become more and more like him? What is it that we can do to be like him? So the centered set is moving that direction. So if we were to take that slide and sort of overlay it on this next one, you can see that's Glenmar's discipleship pathway. It's a centered set approach to discipleship. We're not so interested in who's in and who's out. Are you a member? Do you do these things? You know, or do you look this way? we're much more interested in becoming more and more like Christ. So we have those six, what we call life of, or marks of disciples' life. There's worship, Christian relationship. This is going around the circle. Generosity, witness, service, and spiritual growth. So those six. And there's ways to move closer to Jesus in each of those six areas. So likely we're strong in some of those and we're not as strong in others. Part of the reason for having this is to see, I'm really strong in worship and service, let's say, but let's say spiritual growth and generosity are not my strengths. What can I do to move from, you know, just becoming aware of that? So we say seeking, or not seeking, to seeking, to responding, to following, to committing. And that's sort of the outline of each one of those pathways from the outer into the inner part, and becoming more and more like Christ. So what we're doing at Glenmar is helping us into this discipleship pathway. And I think it's a fantastic way for us to see what it is that we want to become, what it is that we want to be working on individually and as a church. So that's what we have. This is a model to become more and more like Jesus in who he is and how he thought, how he responded, how he acted in the world. So we're exchanging what we used to trust or what we used to kind of depend on, letting go more and more of that self to becoming more and picking up Jesus' approach, Jesus' understanding daily, so that we can be walking and following him in our daily lives. So anything that is worth you know, giving time and effort to. This is a lifelong enterprise. It's not a project. It's not a program. It's just a way of understanding what it means to be a Christian and follower of Jesus. So Martin Luther says this. I love this way of coming at this. He says, "This life is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness." This is what it disciples. We're not righteous. We are growing in that direction. Not health, but healing. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing toward it. The process is not finished. It is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not gleam in glory, but all is being purified. We're on the way. They call it the people of the way. Disciples are on the way. We're on the way towards Jesus, becoming more and more like him. So last night, Dan Eshelman played a song that he wrote just a couple months ago. And I wish he was here to sing it, but I have the words. Here are some of the words to Dan's song, okay? "Hey, you down by the water, quit your job and follow me. Leave your spouse, your son, your daughter. I'll be your family. This is a hard lesson. This is a hard lesson. This is a hard lesson. Lord, have mercy. No one can serve two masters. This much is true. You'll hate one and love the other. You got to choose. If you want to be my disciple, one thing to do, leave it all behind for the sake of the gospel. These are the plans I have for you. To empty your hands so you can pick up a cross. Empty your hands so you can pick up a cross. Hey, you living in the suburbs, forfeit the race and follow me. I don't promise prosperity or comfort, only eternity. This is a hard lesson. This is a hard lesson. This is a hard lesson. Lord, have mercy." Let us pray. God, we thank you for your lesson. We thank you that you came to give us this lesson. We thank you that you came to give us yourself, and that we are privileged and honored and blessed to have you in our lives. We want more of you, Lord. Help us to find the ways to let go of ourselves so that we can have more of you. In Jesus' name, amen.